Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes. We welcome you to the show. Today is Thursday, April the 30th, 2015, the last day of the month. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. We're in day 6 of a 12-day teacher's training, and it's flying by. Dr. Tim, thank you, and Michelle, for filling in for us yesterday, and Michelle for covering the switchboard for me the day before that. And it's sometimes it just gets a little bit busy and process gets a little full, and it's challenging to get back to the radio show by 1 o'clock. So we thank you very much for filling in for us. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. We're honored that you're here to share this space with us and once again inquire into the ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness, the internal process of reaching inside oneself and changing one's mind, and understanding how to go through that process. We are in the middle of a teacher training intensive, and last night we did Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And whenever that workshop is done, it's always a free open workshop, so we had several guests who joined us. So we had kind of a nice evening last night and this morning. You know, we got about halfway through the workshop last evening, and so we're doing the other half this morning, and just a deepening of the understanding for all of us in the process. So it's a pretty sweet energy, pretty awesome group of people that we've got. They're all getting ready and preparing to create and produce a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. So I'm going through the whole process so everybody gets to kind of tap into what their part might look like. And it's always fun to do the teacher's training because there's always so much creativity that shows up. I remember one year we had about 25 people in teacher training. And when the group produced the Why workshop, there were people who did rap songs. There were people who did comedy. There was one couple who created a big fight scene to look at forgiveness and how to move through it. You know, it was kind of interesting because they were up next on the roster at an intermission, all of a sudden erupting from one of them without anybody realizing it was actually part of the class. Erupts this yelling, and as people are looking at the dynamics of how they operate in their lives. So it was really fun, and actually that year we talked about how we should take that whole show on the road, get that group of people. One guy did a rap song, and it was just awesome to watch the creativity and how people present and how each individual adds to my understanding of the process of forgiveness and my ability to apply it. So we're moving some huge energy in the whole process. And if you'd like to access that process of healing, you'd be most welcome to go to our website, whyagain.org. And in the middle of the page, you'll see a bullseye. If you click that bullseye and start reading and following the links, it'll tell you all about how to engage in the forgiveness process. And we're delighted to freely share it with you, that you've got access to those tools. And, of course, this radio show is about supporting you. If you have questions or thoughts about any of the work, that's what we're here to do, is to support that happening. And we're delighted to be here to support you in your process, in your healing work. Healing not always being Dr. Feelgood. This morning, the topic of abuse came up in the workshop with America at this point, holding up a woman who, in a video, is shown beating on her son, that she's a hero mother. And one commenter made the comment, we need a million more moms like this. That's it. So we're going to create a society where people don't kill each other anymore. Police don't kill each other anymore by having mothers who beat their children, especially their grown sons. And the piece that I put into the fray is, well, if and you'll notice that this young man is trying to get away from his mother. If he had had a relationship based in love with his mother, he wouldn't have been out throwing rocks at the police, and he would not have been running away from his mother. His mother is talked about as her love for him. Excuse me, people who hit people are not in love. Now, she may have been concerned for his safety, great, but there are far more intelligent and better ways to take someone who may be in danger to safety than beating on them. And you can bet that what a child learns, and I'm hoping that, because Suzanne Tucker responded to some of that, she might happen to be on the show. I should have actually called her to see if she'd join us, because she was the one who shared such a powerful story last year about a woman in her class who came to one of her classes on conscious parenting in St. Louis, where Suzanne teaches this work. And this mother shared that she stopped beating her child the day that he was sent out, according to the family tradition, to cut a switch so he could be beaten with it. And, of course, I've told this story many times in workshops since then, and I'm appalled, amazed and appalled at how many people in my audiences go, yeah, that was my family's tradition. They recognize it. It's just, oh, yeah, that's what you did. So this mother shared that the end of her abuse of her son was when he went out, was sent out to cut a switch and came back with rocks in his hand and said, Mom, I couldn't reach a switch, so I brought you these rocks to throw at me. What had this young man learned by the fact that the person who was supposed to be there to cherish him and honor him and take care of him would beat him with a switch? He had learned that his mother wanted to hurt him. Folks, that's what abuse teaches children. And we recognize that the word discipline comes from the root disciple. It means properly taught. It does not mean, as the non-being world puts it out there, properly beat up. The media and the culture today is promoting the beating of children as a way to keep them safe. And I offer that's a lie. That's a way to get them to do things like go out and throw rocks at police and maybe get harmed as a result of it. Just time for a big wake-up call in the culture. We've got so much. You know, David Bohm's talks about sustained incoherence, and that we think in a way that produces problems, and then we struggle against the problems but deny that we're the creators of them and keep up the way of thinking that produces that. And he calls that, he's coined a term, this physicist David Bohm has coined the term, sustained incoherence. Whenever we listen to a mind in hostility or fear, we're in a mind of sustained incoherence, and that mind will never guide us properly. It will never support us. It will never heal us. And so just to look at these dynamics as a part of the work, the person who, and I've heard so many people over the years who tell this kind of nostalgic, sweet story about, well, you know, when my dad used to beat me, when my mom would hit me, I always knew I deserved it, and it taught me things. And look, I didn't turn out so bad. My offering is that anybody tells that kind of story with some sort of a nostalgic, sweet voice is using that story as a cover to keep from feeling the deep pain of realizing that this person who bore them or fathered them wants to hurt them. That is a crushing blow that is so painful that most people don't want to go there. And they keep up that story in order that they can then pass on their power person dynamic and pretend it's okay to beat their kids. Excuse me. Please discipline your children. That is, teach them properly. If you don't know how to teach them properly, then learn. Then do your healing and learn and bring them the presence of love, the presence of your human life as you teach them and as they teach you. The person who goes berserk in front of a child who won't obey, the person who raises their fist to a child who won't obey, here's what I know, is that the child that's not in obedience activates goals that the parent has for the child, and those goals create such stress that they default to their power person dynamic. And it's time for us to end this insane power person dynamic of we show love by hitting and hurting our children. It makes no sense. But the non-being mind, the hostility and fear-based mind goes, yay, look at that. Look at that, Mom. We need a million more of those. And my offering is do some work on your mind and change your mind, because that's going to do nothing. You know, that young man who's throwing bricks at police, imagine 5 years from now, he becomes a policeman. You know what? He's going to tend to be the kind of guy that's going to shoot an unarmed person, black or white, doesn't matter, got nothing to do with color. He's going to be the person who's going to do that very thing. There's an interesting article on police brutality where it's shown that in many cities it is those police of color that are the most abusive of others of color in their community. Abuse is an equal opportunity abuser, is an equal opportunity insane mind. It doesn't care who it abuses. The weak and the helpless are where it tends to go, because when they were small, they were weak and helpless, and their power person taught them how to deal with the weak and helpless. It hasn't got anything to do with color. It's all just an opportunity to clean it up, to forgive, and to change the dynamics of 1,000 generations of insanity. And it is first century Aramaic forgiveness that will put us deeply in touch with the hidden parts of the mind and give us the chance to work through those parts of the mind. So that's what we're here to support. Dr. Tim, how do you be today, sir?
I am well, thank you.
Well, good.
Well. I was
cool.
I was grateful to have the time to be on the show yesterday and support some people who were
thank you.
In with questions, and I think it went relatively well. One of the things that happened was that Cindy and called in and let us know that Brad's veteran support groups aren't really responding well, and I was able to give him the feedback that it isn't him. It's that set of issues and the level of trauma those people have been under and the politics and the bureaucracy. And for years, I have put it out there that I'm willing to help veterans for either for free or reduced fee, and created websites and get almost no takers. So it's all part of the system and the culture that has us doing exactly the kinds of things you were talking about. Misperceiving what love really is and seeing it's a weakness if you have to go get help and thinking that the way you discipline somebody is by beating them, all of this craziness that pulls us out of that awareness of our true nature as love. It's a cultural thing. It's a very strong, pervasive, well-practiced habit. And the good news is, it can be changed. It can be interrupted. It's a pattern of thought, and there isn't anything really deep-seated about it other than we just keep practicing it. And when we engage tools like the ones you've made available, that pattern can get interrupted and people can be introduced to their awareness of their true nature. And in that moment, in a heartbeat, in a breath, in a thought, everything changes. And it's delightful, and I'm glad to be a part of the team that's learning about that and teaching others to learn about that. And, you know, I've just had a couple sessions already this morning that it's just a joy to be in the room when people choose to focus on their power, their loving nature, their true nature, and experience their life differently with the choice of a different thought. And then, of course, when that's not quite enough, then we have these tools to remove what's less than love and those energies that might be stuck in trauma, and apply those tools, and I thank you for providing them.
Well, certainly when we get into a tight corner like we did yesterday when we were breathing people and didn't get completed quickly enough to get to the show, that you're there on a minute's notice so often to support us is a huge contribution and a very empowering way of supporting us in getting this to the point where we can actually build to critical mass and get it to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And as I've offered before, that for people who might be on the other side of this discussion about, you know, hitting is an okay thing to do to teach children something, I like to offer to people, if you've ever held a newborn and you tap into the essence of the newborn, can you imagine a newborn doing that behavior? If you can, it's probably good to do. If you can't, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. And it becomes a pretty easy measuring stick. But it's interesting that when we miss a flaw in our logic, then everything that comes after that flaw is provable from within the error of the logic that started it. And you have to go back to the baseline. And one person who created a post about this woman is like, yay, this wonderful mother who's loves her son and is saving him from being hurt. The flaw in the logic is, excuse me, you don't throw open-handed hits repeatedly into the face and on the body of child and call that love. That's just a flaw in thinking. It's insane. You know, can you imagine the newborn child as love opening its fist and smashing somebody in the face or its hand? Just, you know, it's not what love does. And so it's a good measuring stick to keep in the background whatever I'm thinking about doing in behavior. I think it's a really useful piece of information. So any other thoughts for you, Dr. Tim, before we check in with Jeannie? I don't know if we've got anybody on the line or anything happening in the chat room. Nothing at this moment. So any other thoughts for you?
Well, we had a recurring issue come up. At least it struck me this way is near the end of the call yesterday, the idea of trying to figure it out. And you touched on it briefly already with the idea that sustained incoherence is David Bohm's word and Krishnamurti's idea of trying to work within a flawed system to correct the errors of the system by using the systematic process that is flawed. It just doesn't work. And it struck me yesterday that as Julie from Ashland was calling in and talking, that there were a lot of statements about how difficult things are and how many layers there can be and how overwhelming it is, and my feedback was that it sounded like getting stuck in that process of trying to figure it out. And from that perspective, it is overwhelming. It is extraordinarily complex. And if I think I have to work within that system to come up with a solution, I'm doomed. However, if I take a breath, if I step back, if I cancel the goals, if I ask for help to be shown from some source of wisdom and guidance outside of that circular, non-productive, logical thought, without all the layers of complexity, then I open myself to a world of new possibilities. So maybe you could talk a touch about trying to figure it out and how many different ways we engage in that as what we think is going to be a solution, and it ends up being the thing that mires us in the problem.
Well, I certainly agree that that's the mind of sustained incoherence. And whenever we're thinking with an hostility or fear-based mind, that we're trying to figure something out based on what we call reasoning that has a flaw at the root of it. You know, if I try to build a building, I'm going to build a 20-story building, and I have the flaw of putting in a foundation for a one-story building, my building's going to fall down. I can't figure that out. My building's going to fall down because the underpinning isn't there to support it. And so the flaws in the logic, just to read a little bit from these Facebook posts, the person who introduces the video of this woman slapping on her son, actually it was interesting. It's a gentleman that I know, and he was at a workshop 8 or 9 years ago where I talked about the power person dynamic and the three behaviors, you know, that we've talked about so often, and that the third behavior, and he was sitting in the audience of about 150 people or so when I repeated the three behaviors, the first one being that when there's no stress, people do whatever they did to get along with their power person, and then the second one is that they'll do whatever they did to resist and survive with their power person. And the third one is that when they become ultra-stressed, they'll do whatever their power person did to them that they hated the most. And this gentleman, who was the father of a small child, 2 or 3 years of age, literally out loud, offered an expletive that I won't repeat on the air, but, you know, and here are the words where he introduces this video. And I bring this forward to just look at how we can have flawed logic and, you know, that the forgiveness process corrects that. So he says, giving praise to a true hero. I can feel my ear being pulled. I know my mom would have been right alongside this amazing woman. In a way, I feel sorry for the kid and don't advocate physical violence in raising children. But what I notice is that this mother is there for her child, and also know that when he's about 20 years older, he's going to be kissing her feet and thanking her profusely for all she did for him, as I do mine. And the logic of that sits on top of a 2 or 3 or 4 year old child's experience of being hurt by the person who's supposed to be his caretaker. And how crazy does it get when we let ourselves do that? One of the other postings is from someone who says, and you listen to the sustained incoherence here, good job, speaking to the mother, good job. I hope he learned his lesson. Good for you. You keep that boy in line. And then here's the sustained incoherence part. You are also teaching your boy what it is to be a decent human being. So here's a boy throwing rocks at police, basically wailing on the police. And in this woman's mind, wailing on the boy teaches the boy to be a decent human being. I mean, talk about a mind of sustained incoherence. But the unconsciousness of that process is just crazy. And so this woman goes on to say, so you're teaching your boy what it is to be a decent human being, I'll add, by beating up on him, and that there are appropriate ways to handle a situation. And the boy was not handling it in an appropriate way and was not the way to deal with life. And his mother knows that. someday, hopefully, if he lives long enough, he will too. So in this woman's mind, a boy who's wailing on, abusing police, is going to learn what it is to be a decent human being, how to do life properly, by being slapped and beaten. It's like, how crazy. And as we look at the dynamics of that, it's like there are a thousand different worksheets to do in that process. And so in my post, I basically spoke about question Boston Hero, Mom, are you kidding me? Let's see if we can add 2 + 2. Child is beaten by mom. Child grows up learning that to get what you want, you beat somebody else. Cops, spouses, other people throw rocks. Do you get the insanity? So the solution of the non-being mind here is beat the boy more, and then we'll call mom a hero. And then I say, are you kidding me? This solution is likely to get somebody killed. If this child becomes a cop, what is he going to do? He's going to do what's been, been done to him. And so, and most people don't realize how, and I put this out to just for us each to watch our language, because with our language and the stories we tell, we are telling our life story. So in response to my post, this woman writes to me and says, you are insane. First of all, this is not a little child. And secondly, coddling, I think she means coddling, is a lot more harmful than any punishment can be. In fact, even Dr. Phil said coddling is the worst child abuse there is. Furthermore, it is making people in this country narcissists. I think she means narcissistic. And that is not goo. I think she's meant good. Would rather have the mother do nothing. You are stupid then. A good whipping when appropriate never hurted anybody, but coddling does. It is only in the minds of the immature who thinks it is bad. My brother used to say that when he got his butt beat by our dad, it was because he always deserved it and that he would not have turned out to be the responsible person of ethics if it wasn't for that too. It takes a mature mind to realize that. And if you do not have a mature mind, you can reason it out properly. My mom raised all her kids and none of them turned out bad, and she applauded this woman too. And then this comment now turns back to me. I think you are the one out of your mind. Children are not mature enough to make rational decisions, like beating on a kid is rational, and that is why they need parents. In fact, if elephants are not raised properly, they even become roan. I think she means rogue. All animals discipline their young in different ways. Therefore, humans need to also. And to the immature baby, they think that they are being abused by their parents too, until they grow up and realize that it was necessary. Baby birds don't want to be weaned. And listen to where the mind goes to try to rationalize and justify that beating is an okay thing. And leave the nest. But when the parent birds use tough love and stop, or practically stop feeding the young in order to get them out to eat on their own, hunger is a good motivator. And then again, the conversation turns back to me. So stop whining and crying and stop trying to be your kid's friend. Of course, she doesn't know whether I have children or not, because the world country does not need any of the brats you turn out. And of course, she doesn't know whether I have children or I don't. And she has no idea what my children are like, but when you listen to your own words, when we each listen to our words, we tell our life story. And, when the stress is up and the chips are down, we do what our parents, our power persons, usually parents, did to us that we hated most. And so just to build the brain cells for how to see things, if you listen to her words, what I know is that her stress is up, the chips are down, and so she's turning to her power person behavior. I'm stupid, I'm immature, I raise brats. So Monster asks, well, how did it feel when your power person degraded you and called you names? Because, of course, you don't know anything about my children or whether or not I have them. But what I know is you were called a brat, you were called stupid, and you were called immature. And, you know, if we just listen to words, Shakespeare says, my words fly up, my thoughts remain below. As we really pay attention with those automatic to those automatic words that come out of our mouths, we get to see parts of our minds that otherwise we don't get to see. I'll be interested. I did post back to her and explain that and share that and say that I would hold space for her healing. You know, her brother's story is how great it was that he got beaten and it really made him the man he is today. And I'd offer the only way somebody can say that is because they have not yet gone back and re-experienced or remembered as an adult how horribly crushing it was to be harmed by the person who was your caretaker. It is a crushing experience for a child. And it's only when we can go back and embrace that and process through that, let go of that energy stored in the structure, that we can be freed of having to create a cover story for how great it was that I got beaten by my mom, you know, it's just, or my dad. So it's all an interesting dynamic, and my offering is that it's time in the culture for us to just wake up, realize that we are love, our focus is love, and when we make that our primary focus, then we can start to undo everything that's less than love in us and live truly as human beings instead of keeping up this family tradition. You know, the great, great line in the song of, let's see, what's his name? Hank Williams Jr. Remember that song? Hank, why do you drink? Hank, why do you blow smoke? Why must you live out every song that you've wrote? And he goes on to say, why am I in this condition? It's a family tradition. The traditions are handed on, and the traditions of abuse are insane. And so we're just here to hold a space for healing it. That provoke any thoughts for you, Tim?
Yeah, a lot of them. I think that, you know, part of what we're trying to do in this show and what you do in your work is introduce a whole new way to look at, question, and provide responses for things that we've only had one or two response patterns for in the past. And one of the things I do, I wrote this little parenting power struggle handbook and started giving it out as a power struggle handbook. And then later, years later, I rewrote it as the Parenting Power Struggle Handbook. But when I gave it to people, I said to them, you know, right up until and through my freshman year of high school, every school I was in practiced corporal punishment. And there were wooden pallets or paddles in every classroom hung in prominent view where the teacher would be able to go over and grab it and give people swats. And the meaner, more aggressive coaches actually had holes drilled in their swats, so it would hurt more. And
swats are a nice word for it.
Yeah. And what happened in that year, or in the summer between my freshman and sophomore year, they passed a law in the state outlawing punishment in the schools. And overnight, the primary disciplinary tool in a system that worked relatively well in terms of keeping the peace in the school and keeping people, you know, moving through their classes and getting their grades, et cetera, was pulled out of the system, and there was nothing put in its place. The teachers weren't taught how to, you know, communicate with respect and set limits and give different consequences. Nothing was put in its place. They were simply told you can't hit them anymore. And so I would talk to parents about how the power struggle model that I created and the system of structure and consequences that they put in place in their family could be a wonderful substitute for yelling, hitting, degrading, name-calling, screaming. And I would actively coach people on how to do that differently. And what's missing, of course, in our world is we don't have parenting classes that teach people. They're not universally available. They're not part of the curriculum. They're not required before you have a child. They're not taught to us in grade school and high school how to teach without the beating, without the degrading, without the name-calling. But there are tools. There are specific techniques that can be used. There are behaviors that can be used that are loving and limit-setting. They are loving and respectful and firm, and they don't reinforce the negative behavior, and they don't allow for people to grow up without boundaries and to become narcissists and all these other things. The problem is it's not actively taught, and holding the space of love for someone is a nice phrase. But unless you're trained in how to do that, unless you know what that looks like in different circumstances, unless you're actually taught different behaviors that can help demonstrate that holding the space of love, it doesn't mean much. And so that's why I really appreciate this show and how when people call in with a specific example, they're either stepped through the worksheet process or they're given different ways to think about it and approach a situation and respond differently. And that's what got stirred up in my mind when you were talking.
Yes, and you know, I did in my response, I did talk about and put a link in for Suzanne McDonald Tucker's conscious parenting classes in St. Louis, which I think she's doing online now, so they can be more universally available. And I know that your parenting handbook is available, Dr. Tim. Can you let everybody know how to get a hold of that?
Well, there's a link on my website, CH4CS.com is my website. And, you know, for instance, one of the things that popped into my mind in this specific example where there's this video and somebody says, if you're upset because this mother went and hit her son and slapped him, then what you're saying is she should not be there and she should not give him any consequences and she should just let him do what he wants. Well, you're not saying that and I'm
right.
Not saying that. And so here's another example. Here's an idea that comes to mind. It's the kind of thing that I've done with my children. It's the kind of thing that I've seen some other people do. If I were a parent in that situation and I was in a good space at that time, I would hope, rather than going and hitting my child, I would go out there, be with my child, and offer the advice for them to stop and to tell them I'd rather have them throw the rocks at me than at the police. And see if that can't interrupt the pattern. Being there and saying, please stop, or being there and saying, you know, when you're throwing a rock at them, it's hurting me too. The acknowledgement of this woman being there and trying to do the right thing, I acknowledge that. The fact that she's trained in insane ways of trying to do what we think of as love, I acknowledge that also. And the idea that there are more sane ways to express loving behavior and set limits, I acknowledge that also. And I'm all for teaching more of that.
Yay, yes, and people can go to your website and pick up that parenting handbook free, right? And get a digital copy of it just by clicking the link. Do I understand that correctly?
I'm not sure if they can get the whole download for free yet. I'm working on that. But if they're listening to the show and they want it, I will mail them a copy.
Fabulous, fabulous. So they can go to the website, communicate with you, and you'll send them a copy of it.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, the whole idea is let's support a shift in the world. Yeah, one of the things this woman said in her post that I just read was, you know, well, here you are saying do nothing. It's like, no, I pointed out that discipline means properly taught. Let's properly teach our children. How do we properly teach our children if we haven't been properly taught? We can't. And that leads people to the levels of stress that they reach out and just repeat their power person behavior and their power person dynamics. So I will go back and put a post back on that that whole thread and suggest that people tap in and pick up a copy of your parenting handbook. And just let's keep offering the support to folks who are in that kind of trauma. I can certainly understand and relate the stress and the fear that this woman was probably under and the concern for her son, because, you know, he's in a place where they shoot black kids, and he could become the object of that. But all of that concern doesn't add up to, so now what I do is, instead of the police abusing him, I'll abuse him. It's just, you know, it's just, it's a conflict. And about, you know, the work that we're doing is about resolving those conflicts and going to another place. So, delightful, delightful, delightful. And Jeannie tells me that we've got a hand up, so let's check in, see who our caller is.
I think it might be Brad. It's 970. You're on the air.
Hey, young man. How are you?
Doing good. How about y'all?
We're rocking along. Rock along. Brad, you don't sound like you're from Colorado. You sound like you're from Tennessee, y'all.
I grew up in Kansas, so a little bleed over. From...
That's pretty close. That's close to Tennessee.
Well, I'm enjoying the show today. Brings up a lot for me. And I, you know, Cindy called
me. Yeah, you've never been
today.
Subject to any of that stuff, right, Brad?
Oh.
You've never been on
the
receiving
end
of any of that abuse or anything.
Unfortunately, yes. And, you know, just in response to even that conversation you were having on Facebook with that woman, I am one that can tell you that those beatings did nothing for me than to set my life on a path of fear, anger, frustration, bewilderment, confusion, a lot of pain. So I think one of the most instrumental things that I found in doing this work are even words from a man named David Rico. I don't know if any of you are familiar with his one of the books he wrote, but he mentions the five A's. And that is attention, acceptance, appreciation, affection, and allowing. And just even responding and comment to that woman's comments to you, and what even what Dr. Tim was talking about, too, about alternative ways of teaching, if more of us got those five A's, a lot of us would not find us where we're at right now. And
yes.
So I've been working on that. Trying to give myself that, being kind to myself and allowing of that. And it's also the very thing that I get from my loving wife, Cindy. So it's, you know, it's even helped me.
Say that again. Say that again, Brad. Your voice just skipped a little bit there. That's the same thing you got from...
Well, it's the same thing I got from these five A's is you know, and trying to be kind to myself and giving them to myself. It's also what I received from my, you know, my loving wife, Cindy. And until I met her, I had never really got that from another human being. So,
And that's precisely what the parent is designed to give us, unless the parent has a power person who thinks that abuse is a way to discipline a child, thinks that that word abuse means discipline. And,
well,
again, the word comes from the word disciple. It means properly taught. It doesn't mean properly beat up.
Exactly. You know, I grew up in fear of my father and even my mother at times because they... You know, they did use corporal punishment. They did believe that those were the ways that you discipline a child and to get them to behave and fall into line, and completely ignoring anything from the five A's. You know, I never got those things because it was not the way they believed that they should be instructing me and guiding me. And so just as one that can give a feedback to those out there that believe that other way of doing things is trying to beat, you know, somebody into submission, I can tell you it doesn't work, and it was probably very instrumental in my making a decision to never having children, too. I didn't want to be one that had a lot of those things in me that come out into raising my own children. I didn't want to be, I made that decision a long time ago. And do I have regrets about that? Yeah, in certain ways, most certainly I do. But in some ways, no, I have no regrets that I think I made the best decision at that time. So I wasn't one that carried on with those traditions. And so I was the one in the family that broke that tradition. And I'm grateful for that. Not that I haven't, it hadn't affected me other ways naturally, but it's feeling a certain amount of loss there. But, you know, and this is carried on also, you know, with my trying to offer the support group to the vets. You know, I don't feel like I'm a bad teacher. I don't feel like there's anything wrong with me. I don't think I'm a failure in that. It's simply that I realize that they're not ready for it. But I'm there. I'm still there. And I guess when, you know, some of them, their conscious levels are, you know, come into alignment with a lot of this stuff, this other work that you teach and others, then I just, you know, I sit back patiently and lovingly, hold that space of love and compassion for them because, yeah, it does hurt. It hurts to see other people hurting. So, but I, you know, I'm at a better place at it than what I was. And, you know, also bringing these, you know, these things about the five A's, you know, and then doing the breathing work, the mindfulness work, the forgiveness work. And I just want to encourage people, you know, to get in touch with that. If you want to get in touch with something worthwhile, that's what you have to offer and what some other people out there have to offer that are very good tools for working through traumas and stuff. You know, I've had my fill of trauma, so now I'm trying to release a lot of it and heal from it. And if I can encourage others to do the same, then yeah, you're darn right. I'm going to keep at it, you know, whether they're ready for it or not.
Awesome. Well, you know, there's an old saying, Brad, that says you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. But you can make them thirsty. You can show them that they don't have to carry that trauma around with them, and it takes time to catch on. And getting the combat vet to deal with the trauma they've had inflicted on them to cause them to do what they've done, and then to deal with the trauma they've inflicted on others, it's a huge piece to break through that, to get people to do it. It's very much like the kid or the man or the woman who says, well, you know, those beatings never hurt me. I turned out pretty good. You know, I learned from those. It's like, yes. And that person keeps up that story, I think, for two reasons. Because one, they can't control themselves and they beat their children the same way that their power person beat them, whatever the dynamic was. And they'll have to drop that and deal with controlling their own fists if they ever acknowledge that it was an error. And two, to go back into the memory of how crushed one was when that first abuse came and to deal with that, it's still inside of the adult. And to be able to embrace that and clean it out is a huge, huge piece of work. And so telling the sweet stories about how, oh, yeah, when Dad beat me, boy, did I learn, and look how I turned out, is just a way to cover and not deal with that. And so I would suspect in the same way, you know, if Michael Coughlin were on, maybe he'd put up his hand and share a little bit of his experience, you know, former military. And we have gone through so many rounds. Michael has been so courageous at, in intensives, processing through the rage that comes up in him and going back and dealing with and getting underneath the surface of that. And that's what you're inviting those folks to do, is to get beneath the surface of that. And to do that, they have to touch into it directly. So we support you carrying on and moving it forward. And it's awesome to have you on the team.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, I'd invite you to go to our Facebook page, you know, MJ_Rice and put some of your comments on it from the perspective of what you experienced as a child, because what I'm seeing on this post at this point is mostly people are saying, yeah, well, I got beat and it was good for me. And it's like the person who thinks it was good for them hasn't touched into the actual experience when it happened to them.
Well,
you can't,
I wholeheartedly,
you know,
agree.
Yeah. So if you jump on Facebook and put some of your comments in there, it might help to get people to start to think differently. And that's the whole key, is to be able to think differently.
Yeah, I certainly agree. I can't. You know, one of the things, too, here that I didn't give much recognition to until lately, too, you know, is we live in quite a, you know, a pretty rural area up here in the mountains. And a lot of vets move here because it's so isolated. They feel secure here. They don't feel threatened. And they, you know, they just more or less live as, you know, isolated and hermits. A lot of them live off the grid. And they're just not very receptive to anything from, you know, from the outside at all. And they just stay up there hidden and in denial and live out their lives, I guess, the only way they know how to figure to do it. And that's, you know, stay locked down in that stuff. And, you know, I've got a couple of them I'm slowly reaching. It's been a slow process, but at least they're open, a little more open to learning more. You know, it's in its infancy, and I don't know where that'll go, but it is positive feedback. It knows that, you know, my efforts don't fall on completely deaf ears, so that's a good sign. So I just keep doing what I can do and hope that it will penetrate.
Fabulous. Dr. Tim, do you have any feedback for Brad?
Well, just that I was hoping he was able to listen to the show yesterday, because I said all of this then. It's that it is a very, very difficult set of issues and a very, very difficult population because of the fear, because of the lack of tools. And I know the pattern of offering to help and having nobody take me up on it. And I just keep putting it out there. And I encourage you to do the same and to understand that you are a good teacher and that you have a lot of value to offer and that these tools can help people when they're ready. And I asked the people on the call yesterday to just send love and prayers to hold a space for you and your work, and just for you to know that when those people are ready, if you're still there, it'll all come together for them.
Well, that's where I keep, you know, the positive flow going. You know, when they're ready, I'll be here. And you know, I'm still doing my work, and that's going to be a lifelong process. But at least I have the tools, I have the knowledge now, that I don't have to constantly live out of all that corrupt data that I did for, you know, for so many years. And that enables me to move forward and actually get my life back. And it's much better. It's getting better every day.
Fabulous. Now, we had an interesting example today in the class. The hotel that we're in, the folks who are converting the hotel and turning it into a place where the staff understands these tools. That's why we're doing teacher training here, because several people from the hotel are going through the class. And they had a board meeting last night, and you know how boards of condo associations and such go. Well, this is kind of a mixed hotel where the folks who are converting it own more than half the hotel, but the other half of the hotel is in private hands. Individuals own rooms on their own. And one of the condo, they had a condo association meeting last night, and Sarah, who's heading up the kitchen and is one of the part owners of the hotel with her dad, is the head of the condo association. And so she went in and There's one young man who invested in a unit here and thinks that it should be making him thousands, and just went into an abusive rage and, you know, is trying to captivate her attention. And she shared in the class this morning that as this man is raging at her, she's on the other side of the counter of the front desk and writing on a computer, and as he's raging at her, she said she all of a sudden caught a flash of herself. It was like a mirror image, and she could see herself as a 3 or 4 year old raging at her mother to listen to her and to be with her. And she could just see how this man was mirroring for her. And this guy, who I guess has been kind of a thorn in everybody's side since he bought his unit, for the first time, after she just stood in that space of love and stayed connected to that, saw this mirror image of herself screaming and raging for somebody to listen to her. The next morning, he came back to her mother with all kinds of apologies. And how can I make this right? And I was wrong, and I apologize. Something that he'd never even come close to before, and has been that abusive with virtually everybody that he's interacted here with. So it's interesting when we can hold the space, how we reflect a different energy, and people can achieve a different experience out of that when we hold the space. So it's pretty cool. Pretty awesome to watch. Healing happens. We're down to about 3 minutes. Is there anybody else with any other thoughts, Brad?
I just want to, you know, voice my appreciation for your thoughts and your support, and for everybody else out there that supports this work. Thank you.
All right, Brad, we appreciate you too, and we're glad you're out there putting it out. Hopefully one of these days we'll get to Colorado and maybe we can help give a boost to the energy and get more people involved and ready to do their work.
It's much needed here.
I hear you. Well, it's a global happening. This morning in the class we were talking about, you know, there's some folks here from Tunisia and the wars and the abuses, you know, 300, 400 years of war, and how these energies have just become part of the psyche of generation after generation, and that digging these things out of the psyche of these individuals is one of the greatest gifts, and creating support for that happening is just one of the greatest gifts you could possibly give to someone, or to give to someone's bloodline. I'm reminded of one of my favorite quotes from Jonas Salk, who says, "The best thing you can do is to be a good ancestor. Keep your genetics clean. Keep moving the genetics in the direction of healing, and we've made a major contribution to our family systems." So we're glad you're here, sir. We're glad to have your support, and that you're out there in Colorado working with vets, and any support we can need, you know we're here to do it. And beyond that, we're just about down to the last 60 seconds, so I'll say once again thank you to Dr. Tim, and if anyone is interested or ready to take your work to the next level, when we finish here on the 6th, we've actually got about a week and a half, and we'll be up in Atlanta at Unity of Marietta in the early part of May. And we may be doing something in Asheville after that. So jump on whyagain.org and you can catch the exact schedule. We're doing a full week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at Unity of Marietta. And they're having a big homecoming event, and so it's kind of cool for me. I was one of the speakers way back originally when that Unity Center was formed. So it'll be cool to be part of that homecoming event and speaking on the Sunday, and then that week of workshops. We haven't got anything on the website yet for Asheville, but working on it. We'll see how it comes together. So if you want to join us in Atlanta, or if you're ready to take your work to the next level, check out the intensive schedule for Heartland. I think we've got something like a total of 68 days set up for next summer, or this summer coming. In the meantime, bring your strangers to the show tomorrow. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings.